Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Green Mage, Mackenzie Green, Book 2, by J.S. Kennedy. Narrated by Justine Eyre. Chapter 1. Life sucks hairy donkey balls. That was the thought that blared through my head as my foot squished into another pile of muck. I say muck because my brain simply didn't want to process all the nasty and potentially diseased crap making up the soup-like grossness. Not the nice underbelly, the warrens where the vampires made their home. No, this was one of the few tunnels that existed below even that. Of course, that meant two levels of whatever people happened to toss into the streets ended up here, and I was currently standing in it. Yippee! I held up a chunk of quartz that blared to life with light. My eyes scanned from side to side, investigating the shadows. Come out, wherever you are. I huffed my annoyance into the air. This was a job worthy of a first-year lifer, not someone of my skill, but Curtis, my guildmaster, was treating me with kid gloves. Since I'd almost died a couple of months ago, twice, I knew I should humor him. That charitable thought lasted until I hit a puddle deeper than my boots, and the foul, muddy liquid seeped down into my socks. Ugh! Looking to the left, I could see scratch marks on the wall. I sloshed over and ran my fingers over the grooves. They were fresh. My prey wasn't far away. I wandered down the tiny laneway, cursing the fact that the walls were so close together. In the limited space, my web, a magical radar-like construct that gave me a 360-degree view of any living thing it encountered, was useless. Since the web could only project out of me in a circle, and I hadn't figured out how to make it pass through solid walls, wasting the energy to maintain its current 6-foot diameter was dumb. Luckily, I wasn't completely defenseless. I did have my shields layered just on the outside of my skin. I might not have been able to see what was coming, but I would sure as hell make it hard for them to hurt me. A glob of something cold and slimy dripped down from the ceiling and hit the back of my neck. I wiped away the grossness before it had a chance to travel down my spine. This was one hunt I wouldn't be sharing at the breakfast table tomorrow. There was no way I could glorify this into something worth sharing, and it would annoy my siblings to no end that I got stuck in a place with no one and nothing to watch my back. Especially now that, for the first time ever, I had a partner. But Quinn was away, so my shields would have to do. Though I was pretty sure my brother Alec would have a litter of kittens if he knew. That was simply who he was. A yowling came from somewhere ahead, and I paused. I was at a junction where three tunnels met. The noise was no doubt the item I'd been hired to find, but the reverberation of the tunnels was making it hard to determine which tunnel it was down. I studied each entryway, looking for other clues. On the third one, I hit the jackpot. Or, more accurately, the jackpot hit me. As my light shone down the last tunnel, a giant paw reached out from the darkness and thumped me upside the head. I fell, filthy water drenching me, and I fought the urge to gag. By the old god, that's nasty. Rolling to my feet, I pushed myself up against the far wall. Blindly, I placed my shining rock on a ledge, unwilling to take my eyes off the creature slowly entering the light. And what a creature he was. The cat-like being was massive. If I let him come close enough, his shoulder would touch my waist. His tail whipped behind him. Make that tails. Two appendages emerged from his hind end. They moved independently of each other, and from the way they moved, I had a feeling they were prehensile. The cat thing opened its mouth and yowled again, the deep bass of its voice overwhelming in the small space. 4-inch fangs curved down, overlapping its bottom jaw. Ears that were longer than usual for his size swiveled back and forth, catching any hint of noise. Its fur was like a meld of leopard and tiger, except instead of the usual coloration, it was a mix of blacks, greens, and tans. This stupid cat would easily blend into the forest, and no one would see it until it was crushing their head like a watermelon. What the hell had those mages been messing with? The Mage College had hired me to track down a missing experiment. When prepping me for the gig, Curtis explained that the lead man had described the beast as a green, tan, and black calico cat, a little larger than average and sweet-tempered. Bullshit. I was going to make those mages eat dirt when I found them, if I lived long enough to find them. The beast got tired of waiting for me to do something and lunge forward. I grabbed my tonfas out of their sheath and dodged to the side. I bopped the cat on the nose as I got out of the way. Bad kitty, no biting. Well, it didn't try to bite me next, but it did try to make my insides my outsides with its massive claws. I wasn't fast enough this time, and the beast's dagger-like claws raked over my torso. Or at least they would have if my shield hadn't gotten in the way. On the bright side, I wasn't bleeding. On the downside, since my barrier was my soul projected outside my body, anything that hit my shields felt twice as bad as if it had hit me for real. The only thing that made the damn thing worth using was that the pain faded quickly, and I had a lot of practice fighting through pain. Now, Mr. Ticker, that wasn't nice. Can't we talk about this over a nice bowl of fish? Maybe a steak. If you like bread, I know a great little Cornish pasty cart in the South Market. I kept up the montage of nonsense as I dodged and struck. I didn't have much room to move, and I was aiming not to kill the damn thing. My ongoing commentary became peppered with curses. This would have been so much easier if I was a reaper instead of a lifer. Then again, if I was a reaper, I wouldn't have gotten this job. I already had too much blood on my hands. As a child, I'd killed on someone else's command. No more killing. No more taking lives that weren't mine to take. Now, I only killed if I had no other option. It was the only way I could live with myself. The cat thing. I decided to call him Saber, short for saber-toothed tiger, monster cat thing, because other than the fur and tails, he was a spitting image of the prehistoric beast, backed off, panting. I took a moment to catch my breath as well. Saber glanced to the side, and I knew he was thinking about escaping down one of the side tunnels. I was proving to be more effort than I was worth, and his instincts told him that running was his best option. My magic flared inside me, reaching out to the beast. I'd never felt this particular strand of energy, but I recognized it for what it was. A new aspect of my power was emerging. I had a similar feeling back when I learned to talk to trees. Talking to animals fell under the umbrella of earth magic. As an elemental with the potential to harness every power associated with my core, I should be able to do that too. Taking a chance, I reached for the new energy and brought it forward. Sending it out, I tried to latch onto Saber's mind. It was surprisingly easy to do. Saber was intelligent, almost human intelligent, and he was young. I could feel the potential in him to be just as smart as me. What the ever-loving hell? Hello, I tried, sending the message out loud as well as through the nascent bond I'd forged between us. The cat blinked, shook his head, and looked at me warily. It's okay. I don't want to hurt you. I put my tonfas away and held up my hands. Saber cocked his head to one side as if to say, Yeah, right, lady. I crouched down and pushed harder with my magic. Though he still looked at me warily, he'd stopped backing up. I could feel my power brushing against his mind, searching for the pathways to forge a connection. When it did, I almost fell on my butt. What the hell is she saying? Why the hell would she put her weapons away? Does she not see my claws? As if to demonstrate his point, Saber sat on his ass and showed me his impressive toenails. Not to mention my impressive teeth. I could break this chick's arm with them. The yawn gave me a great look at Saber's tonsils. I almost laughed at his varied vocabulary. I was trying to put you at ease. There was a slight snark to my tone. Whipping my weapons from their holsters in a blink, I twirled them in a flashy move meant to impress. I would have had them back out well before you could have done any damage. The big cat blinked, and I realized his tails weren't the only weird part of him. His eyes were, for lack of a better term, mesmerizing. His pupils were slit like a regular feline, but they were a deep, vibrant turquoise instead of black. The iris was a crystalline purple with a shattering of red expanding out from the center.
"How the hell can I understand you?" The other monkeys kept gibbering at me, but I couldn't make heads or tails of what they were saying.
Saber stood again, his dual tails twitching in agitation. They must not have had an animal mage on staff. I am pretty sure if they did, you could have communicated easily. "You seem fairly intelligent," I said, hoisting myself out of the muck, then frowned as the glop slid off me and back into the murky water. There wouldn't be enough fresh water in the city for me to feel clean after this.
"I am pretty sure you're nuts, lady."
"Well, you're talking to me, so what does that make you?" The immature response was out before I could censor it. I was supposed to be bagging and tagging this cat for the bounty, not trading snarky quips.
"I'm hoping this is all a dream."
"You dream of disgusting sewers often? Sucks to be you." I put my tomfas away again and propped my fists on my hip.
"Look, Saber." "Who the hell is Saber?"
I paused, resisting the urge to pinch the bridge of my nose. I must have been off more than usual because I didn't usually slip and use my silly nicknames out loud. "Sorry, I didn't want to keep calling you cat, beast, mutant cat, him in my head, so I gave you a nickname. Do you have another name? What should I call you?" It was amazing how a person could go from dodging claws and hoping not to get shredded to ribbons one moment to having a civil conversation and exchanging names the next.
"I don't know. I've never thought about it, and I couldn't understand the squawking of the other two-leggers to tell if they had one for me. What is a saber?"
I sighed. "It actually has two meanings in this context. I intended to shorten saber-toothed tiger, a prehistoric cat that you resemble, but a saber is also a type of weapon, a sword, lethal and graceful." The cat preened.
"I find that name acceptable for now. What do I call you?"
I didn't resist this time and pinched the bridge of my nose. This hunt was fast becoming more complicated. "My name is Mackenzie. My friends call me Kenzie or Mac. I'm fine with either."
I shall think on it. You gave me a strong name. I should return the favor, maybe."
By the old god, a cat was going to give me a nickname. I couldn't wait to see what he came up with. If he came up with something. Cats weren't known for their attention spans. "Okay, Saber. The lab you came from hired me to track you and bring you back." A low growl emanated from his throat, and his eyes hardened.
"I don't want to go back."
I held up a hand. "Yeah, I didn't figure you would." It was criminal to keep such an intelligent animal in a cage. "Do you know anything about why they were keeping you?" I didn't have high hopes, especially if he referred to the mage's chatter as squawking, but I had to ask. The cat shook his head.
"No. Until my escape, I had never seen the outside. My earliest memories are of the metal bars and the ones in the coats poking and prodding me."
I squeezed my eyes shut. Saber's story was eerily similar to mine, except I still had vague recollections of my parents and my life before the facility. "Well, that makes things more challenging. If they brought you in from somewhere, I could use a technicality to get you out. As it stands, you have two choices."
"You let me go."
I shook my head. "No, if I did that, they would simply hire someone else to get you. Someone with less of a moral code." Saber nodded. He was so young and trusting for a predator. How the hell had he not lost that innocence? "The way I see it, you have two choices. One, you allow me to bring you back in. I'll break you out in a couple of days and get you to a safe place, somewhere wild where they won't find you." He cocked his head to the side, his ears coming forward.
"What is my other option?"
I chewed on my bottom lip. Do I really want to go down this path? I had to. The cub deserved to know his choices. "The second one is a little more complicated." That piqued his interest. Damn cats and their curiosity. Mages of all levels can bond with animals, The animal gains intelligence, a longer lifespan, and a natural immunity to magic. You already have the intellect, but I can feel the animal side of you. You would be compatible with a familiar bond. I gave him a moment to absorb the information. Most bonds happen naturally. It's similar to the bond shifters share with their mates. The mage feels the compatibility and initiates the bond. The animal usually gets no say since they are dumb beasts. But you are smart. You get to make a choice. Saber dropped his head to stare at the water.
Do you feel the compatibility?
I shook my head. I'm a little different from your ordinary mage. I've been compatible with every animal I have encountered, even the ones already bonded. If I wanted to, I could take another mage's familiar from them.
Would you?
No, unless they were treating it poorly. I can sever the bond later. You will not be stuck with me forever if you choose to leave.
Why should I trust you?
Saber narrowed his eyes. You shouldn't. You should have run while you could. Why did you stay? I challenged.
My instincts told me I can trust you, but I don't know if I can trust them. They led me to the sewers, after all.
I couldn't help the bark of laughter that erupted. Saber's eyes narrowed again, and his ears pinned back. His lips curled, and a short growl erupted from his throat. I waved a hand, trying to tell him I wasn't laughing at him. It was the tone of his mental voice when he spoke of this rotten, festering muckhole that set me off. His attitude changed to indifference, and in a true cat-like move to prove it, he lifted his paw to clean. The disgusted furrowing of his muzzle set me off a second time. Priceless. I finally got myself under control. Slightly out of breath, I said. And those instincts were spot on. You can't be tracked by smell down here. There is virtually no traffic, and if you had stayed ahead of me for another hour, you might have found the right tunnel to dump you at the edge of the woods.
But you cannot simply let me go.
I gave him a sad smile. They will have a griffin shifter question me. It was in the contract. I won't be able to lie to them, and they will know where you went. They will send someone else after you. Saber's eyes turned vacant as he thought about everything I told him. If he were only a bit older and had some training, then he wouldn't have had any problem evading capture. But he was a kid, and likely to make mistakes as one. Look at me, trying to pick up more strays. My family was going to freak.
You said it could be a temporary thing. Will they force you to give up the bond?
Saber eventually asked. It was a fair question. I shook my head. No one surrenders the bond easily. It's painful for the mage and can be fatal. I'm a bit different. It wouldn't be as bad. But the archmage doesn't know that, so he won't force it unless I neglect you.
Then I accept. It seems to be the best choice for the time being.
Great. I pulled out a knife and slashed it across my palm. You need to ingest some of my blood. I'll speak the spell and the bond should snap into place. Saber crinkled his muzzle as he stepped towards my bleeding palm.
This cannot be sanitary.
The words echoed in my mind and caused me to laugh. Says the predator. I chuckled, then winced as his raspy tongue licked across the open wound. His shoulders hunched and his ears drooped. I never figured a cat could look sheepish.
I have never actually eaten a live animal. The people who caged me only fed me dead rats or hunks of meat.
Huh. A scary predator who'd never killed a living thing. Didn't we make a fitting pair? I held in another laugh as I chanted a phrase in Welsh, the official language of magic. As the last word passed my lips, the bond snapped into place. I could feel Saber in my head. It wasn't intrusive, merely a light awareness of his presence. The big cat shook his head. A faint growl escaped him. When he looked at me, a sheen of green passed over his eyes, a manifestation of my power within him.
That feels odd.
It should fade shortly. If it doesn't, I can teach you ways to mute or block it. I wrapped a bandage from one of my pouches around my injured hand and turned to march back out of the festering place. Come on, I said. Let's go and face the music. With Saber by my side, I had a feeling life was about to get a lot more interesting. Chapter 2. I wasn't sure who was getting more looks. Me, in clothing that reeked of the sewer and tracking mud all over the pristine entryway, or the giant mutant cat sauntering next to me, equally as disgusting. It didn't help that Saber had latched onto my wrist with one of his tails, the other flicking lazily, as if he wasn't terrified.
Kenzie,
Cameron called from across the room. What the hell is that thing? Saber stiffened at my side. He's a he, Cam, not a thing, and he's my familiar. Saber calmed as I defended him to the air mage. Cam hadn't meant anything by the comment. I had referred to him as a thing at first, too.
Nice. Does he have a name?
She asked, stepping closer. Saber, this is Cam. She's a Reaper. I'll explain the guild system to you later. I looked at the cat as I spoke. I wanted everyone watching to see him as the intelligent being he was.
Hey, Saber.
She held out her hand, palm up. Saber looked at me, confusion written all over his face. I stifled my grin.
Saber is just as smart as you or I. Please treat him like a person, not a pet.
I nodded to Saber. Cam wants you to sniff her hand. She's offering you her scent as a friend. Most cats sniff it, then decided if they will allow the human to pet them. Normal cats enjoy the contact. Saber kept his eyes on me as he leaned forward and sniffed the air mage's hand. He didn't need to speak in my head for the "You're weird" to come across loud and clear. Still keeping his eyes on me, he leaned forward and allowed Cam to caress his massive head.
So soft, she cooed.
It didn't take more than a couple of strokes for Saber to abandon me in favor of Cam's caresses. A handful of other members came out, offered their hands, and introduced themselves to Saber. Pride overwhelmed me as each person treated the cat as if he was a member of the family. A cough echoed from the staircase. I looked up to see Chris standing halfway down. Petite, with pixie-style hair and clothes that screamed, "Don't mess with me," she was the scariest person in the guild. An ex-reaper, Chris had retired a few years ago. Not content to sit at home and knit, she'd stayed on as Curtis's secretary.
Enough fussing over the damn cat. He's bonded to Kenzie now and will be around. You can cosset him later.
She moved her focus from the group surrounding the cat to me.
Mackenzie, Curtis wants to see you and your new friend.
Without another word, she turned and strode back up the stairs.
Come on, Saber.
I headed for the stairs, and the monster cat plodded along beside me. One of his tails snuck back out and wrapped around my wrist. I hadn't even noticed when he'd let go. Guess there were worse things than being a security blanket.
You don't have to be worried. Curtis is cool. He'll help us deal with the Archmage.
Saber narrowed his eyes at me.
If you say so.
We reached the top of the stairs, and I led Saber to the ornate double doors that brought us to Curtis's office. Chris was already holding them open, so I strode in, trying to project more confidence than I felt. Despite all the reassurances I'd given Saber, I wasn't sure I'd win this fight. Curtis's office was the most opulent place I'd ever seen. He'd gone to the Nines to show our wealthier clients that he could go toe-to-toe with them, and it worked. We were the most sought-after guild in the city, despite our rules. We were halfway to Curtis's massive wooden desk when the lush smell of plants washed over me. I turned my head for a moment to take in the thriving oasis, sucking in a deep breath and letting its energies calm my nerves. In the middle of the massive pond lounged a jet-black snapping turtle. Speedy had a nasty temper and barely tolerated it when I came to take care of the plants. But despite her off-putting temperament, I tried to treat her like the sentient being she was. As Saber had become my familiar, Speedy was Curtis's.
Come here for a moment.
I tugged with the wrist Saber had bound with his tail. I doubted docile was part of Saber's nature, but he seemed off balance enough to allow me to take the lead. When we reached the edge of the pond, I gestured between the two animals.
Speedy, this is Saber, my new familiar. Saber, this is Speedy.
She's Curtis's familiar and helps him with his more difficult magical tasks. Without letting go of my wrist, Saber moved closer to the pool. His whiskers pointed forward inquisitively. I was just about to warn him not to get too close when Speedy lived up to her name and lunged forward. Saber stumbled backward as her jaw snapped where his ear had been. I hid my smile. She'd gone easy on him. If she'd wanted to hurt him, she would have gone for his nose. Over his surprise, Saber got up and stalked forward, a growl building in his chest. His eyes glowed, and I could hear the words he projected at the turtle.
You are an arrogant beast who knows nothing of the hardship of others. You live here in the lap of luxury while others suffer, and you have the gall to be nasty on top of it. I'm surprised your human has tolerated you this long. He should toss you aside and find a more worthy companion.
I didn't know why, but I got a distinct feeling that Speedy could understand my new friend. If I became more proficient with my animal sense, perhaps I could hear her one day as well. A booming, masculine laugh echoed throughout the room. Saber stopped growling, huffed, and turned away.
The water beetle is not worth interacting with.
Saber tugged me away from the pond. I couldn't contain my snort at his slur, and I was positive my eyes were twinkling as I approached my boss. Not that he was having a better time. When we reached the desk, he was still doubled over in his chair, wheezing with laughter. I let him get his breath back before making the introductions. Curtis, this is Saber. Saber, my guildmaster, Curtis. I had never seen Curtis reduced to tears when laughing, but as he uncurled himself, he wiped a stray drop of liquid off his cheek.
Greetings, Saber. I'm glad you made the right choice.
Saber turned to me at that comment, and I sighed. Of course, Curtis had seen this, or at least the possibility of it. Curtis is a seer. It's probably why he sent me on a task we usually reserve for new recruits. Saber nodded at my explanation and turned his attention back to my boss.
I have to say, Saber, no one has ever had the fortitude to call Speedy out on her bullshit before. Most tiptoe around her. She is highly impressed with you.
Huh. So that was the way to the crotchety turtle's good graces.
I cannot say the same about her.
Curtis chuckled again.
I understand. She is a bit spoiled, but if you reconsider, she would love to talk to you in the future. I know she's been lonely. She was born a simple beast and only gained her intelligence when we formed the bond. She cannot talk to other humans as you do.
It was only then I realized Saber was projecting his thoughts directly to Curtis. Sensing my revelation, Saber turned to me and explained.
I was unsure if it would work, but since you opened the path between us, I can now see the path to others. That is a good and bad thing, Curtis stated, his hands coming up to clasp it in front of his chin. Good, because it gives us more rope to convince the Archmage you need to stay free.
And the bad? I asked.
The Mage College will no doubt do everything in their power to reclaim such a talented specimen, Curtis said, as a knock sounded on his door.
Without waiting for Curtis to call out, the door opened and Chris poked her head in. The office of the Archmage just called. They want you and Mackenzie to present yourselves in 2 hours. They also said to bring the cat. Without waiting for a reply, she ducked her head out and shut the door. It looked like the fight was coming to us. It was early evening when the three of us approached the home of the Archmage. The house was straight out of the southern colonial era, with 3 stories, an expansive covered front porch, and lots of windows. It looked regal, painted a white base with black shutters. Unlike most of the supernatural leaders in the city, the Archmage conducted his business out of his home. Passed from Archmage to Archmage, the sprawling mansion had an entire wing dedicated to receiving, judging, and mitigating disputes related to any human magic user in the city. We walked up to the front door and Curtis rang the bell. I could hear footsteps echoing before the door swung open. A man in his late 50s stared down at us from over his nose. Dressed formally, he carried himself with an air of importance and pride. With one hand tucked behind his back and the other sporting a crisp white glove, he motioned us inside. I was in two minds regarding the butler's utter lack.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?